At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 77 of the Knowing Wheel podcast. Yes, this week, we're dedicating it to Valtteri Bottas, of course, the Formula One GOAT of recent years. But as always, I'm joined by JB183. How are we doing, mate?
I'm good, yeah. I didn't realise it was Bottas' special episode. I might have...
Of course it is.
...bought some Alfa Romeo merch or something to do that. But speaking of merch, you can buy some with Matt's code.
Yes, you can. Yeah, that.
I don't know what the code is.
That is the smoothest of segues. It's not actually a code. It's just a link down in my bio. But of course, there'll be links to that. There'll be links to Bybit. And of course, the most important one, there's also links to Spotify. If you want to go help us out over there, give us some support, that would be greatly, greatly appreciated if you are a YouTube viewer. But finally, Formula One is back this weekend. Of course, if you missed out last week's episode, we had a bit of a nostalgia tour. It was very, very good fun. We went back and looked at all of the previous GP2 champions and where are they now. And fun fact, Jamie, I don't know if you saw this, FP1 Will completely ripped off our idea and did the same thing.
I didn't see that, actually.
Yeah, but, so I'm going to have words with William.
Yeah, get a lawsuit on him.
That very much upset me, Will. So if you're listening to this, which you
also,
probably are.
I got two separate random Twitter accounts, which I'm very appreciative of, tagging me and saying that you're wrong about Nico Rosberg.
Yes.
So it was controversial.
It was controversial. Well, two people. Yeah. How many people are on Twitter? Like two billion, I would have thought.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So it's a 1 in 1 billion. There's 8 people on Earth that don't think, that think Rosberg is different
That's
gravy
how statistics
material.
Work.
I mean, we spoke to our official adjudicator, didn't we? We spoke to Kane.
We did.
Special shout out to Kane, and he did agree that I was right in this instance. Then again,
his wheel knowledge is poor. That's why he's not on the podcast.
Ah, okay, fair enough. Fair enough. But, I mean, we've actually got quite a bit of news to get into this week. Of course, we did the show last week, and not even joking, I think it was 15 minutes afterwards, wasn't it? The 2023 calendar got confirmed. That really annoyed me because there was plenty to digest there, wasn't there? I'm just going to fire it back up quickly. I apologise
now.
Yeah,
24 races, which is a new record.
Yeah, if they all go ahead.
I mean, going to put it out there, that's too many.
Yes.
Yes, I'm not a fan. I mean, I think 23 is too many. I think a limit at 21 would be good.
The problem I have with it is, in many ways, I think 23 or 24 is possible, but there's got to be a lot more sense with the travel, and teams need to be allocated more budget to be able to hire more staff, because trying to get some of your staff to do 24 weekends, when, like many of them have said, you are working 12 hours a day from Monday to Sunday, is insanity.
Yeah. And the only real time off that the factory people have is the 2 weeks at the end of the season and 2 weeks in the summer break, which is, unless they take annual leave, which I don't think they'll get very much if they're, like, important members of the team.
I'd imagine you're only entitled to another 2 weeks off, because obviously that would just be your 6 weeks for the year.
Yeah, which is pretty ludicrous, really. So, yeah. I mean, I'm glad that F1 is clearly a global sport, but I do think potentially 24 races a few too many, but I'm glad that the likes of Spa and Monza have got Monaco have had extensions recently, even if they're quite short extensions, which will just be kicking the can down the road for a bit.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I think obviously Monaco got a 3-year extension, didn't it, and Spa's only had a 1-year extension, so both of them not exactly in particularly safe spots still.
No.
But, I mean, yeah, looking through the 2023 calendar, of course, we've also got Shanghai returning. Of course, big, big push there from Zhou Guanyu. That, I think, to be honest, I'm genuinely intrigued as to how the new Formula One cars are going to handle Shanghai, because I think that's going to be really exciting. Yes.
It always struggled, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I think we're going to see a huge influx of fans now with Zhou Guanyu on board.
And with just F1 generally, because 2019 was the last time they raced there, and it's definitely grown hugely since then.
But not, I don't know, so I would imagine because of Zhou Guanyu, definitely in the Chinese market, but I don't know so much outside of that, to be honest. I'd love there to be some reliable data on that, but I'm not sure we'll probably be able to get any. But I mean, obviously, Qatar as well coming back, if I'm not mistaken, that is still at the sale for now.
Yeah, they want to move it to Doha,
circuit. Yes, yeah.
But it doesn't look like that'll happen for 23.
No, they're still trying to develop it, aren't they? That circuit.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, you know, we've got Singapore, Japan, which obviously we're getting back this year, but excited to obviously Vegas. Go to those. Vegas as well, of course. Yeah, it's back, technically.
Well, technically.
In its third iteration, isn't it? Now, which is kind of insane. Formula One is racing Las Vegas.
Caesar's Palace.
Exactly. I want the Caesar's Palace Grand Prix to return once more. And I mean, a lot of people are given. Have you seen the new track layout? I know it got confirmed time ago.
It's okay, isn't it? I remember seeing it.
This is what I thought. It doesn't look that bad for a street circuit.
Yeah. No.
And people are still slating it and things like that. Yeah. Which I think is a bit confusing. I mean, other things to go through, though, on the real life calendar for 2023. I mean, there's a few obvious ones, isn't there? Why isn't Qatar just pushed down to Abu Dhabi? I mean, why is Spain after Monaco? Why isn't Canada and Miami together? There's just so many of these questions still that I just don't understand.
And Spa is after the summer break. What? No,
it's before the summer break, which I hate. Just swap Spa and Zandvoort around.
Literally. Oh, it feels so wrong that Spa is not the first race back.
No.
And Hungary is not the last race before the break.
No, I hadn't even noticed that, to be honest. I forgot Spa was the last race before the summer break. It's just all uncomfortable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very, very uncomfortable.
Yeah. But it feels like quite compact, because the last race is 26th of November. Like, obviously last year, 2021, we went into mid-December, but that was kind of because... Why was that, actually? I'm not even sure why that was.
It was because we were still worried about COVID regs, wasn't it?
COVID?
Yeah, so obviously they were trying to push some races a bit further back so governments could sort of get a control over it.
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
we'll wait and see.
It's because I'm sort of looking at it. Have we got any triple headers? We've got it. Imola, Monaco, Spain is triple header. But I think that's... Oh, no. USA, Mexico, Brazil as well, is another triple header.
Okay. They make sense, at least logistically, in my mind.
Brazil, I think, is often forgotten how it can be quite difficult to get to.
America's, like, the two continents are very big.
You should have swapped Las Vegas with Brazil. Like, I get it. Las Vegas and Abu Dhabi as a double header is just carnage.
That's pretty sick, though, to be fair.
Well, I guess, obviously, the thing is Las Vegas, of course, is on Saturday night, isn't it? So you have got one extra day, but it's still...
That'll be so fun. I actually look forward to that a lot.
Still a bit weird.
Even it's over a year away.
Yeah, I mean, it is quite a hype event, isn't it? But I'm trying not to get my hopes up too much. But, I mean...
France has dropped off.
France is gone, but we kind of all were expecting that. South Africa, of course, unfortunately, they haven't quite got the funds yet. But 2024 is looking more and more likely for a Grand Prix weekend. So, I mean, let's say then, obviously... South Africa coming back onto the calendar, Jamie, you've got 25 races. You want it down to 21. What tracks are on the chopping block? Four tracks you get rid of.
Ooh. I think Mexico you could do without.
Really?
Yeah.
When Perez goes, probably.
Yeah, that's very true. Spain you could definitely do without.
Annoyingly,
Alonso and Sainz are relevant. Yeah. The track is just so bad. I think Spain deserves a race, but the track just... No.
Spain desperately needs... I mean, can we use Aragon? Is Aragon in Spain or Vallelunga?
Can we just use Portimao and just call it Spain like they used to with San Marino?
Right, okay.
That's a good idea.
We'll make that work, apparently.
Or the Iberian Grand Prix or something. That'd be quite cool.
Yeah.
What else could you do without...
So, I mean, Mexico and Spain are getting on your chopping block. You're just not a fan of the Spanish-speaking Grand Prix, apparently.
Not massively. I think there's too many street circuits, but they're all quite good in their own right. Yeah. I think Qatar is only there because it's kind of a growing country that they want to get some side roots in.
Well, let's not beat around the bush. It's a really fat paycheck at the end of the day. That's
yeah,
all
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
10 years was the deal signed for, something insane.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've obviously had the World Cup for the same reason.
Yeah.
This coming winter.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, do you reckon one of the US Grand Prix could go? I mean, we see more and more flack for Cota, don't we, really?
Yeah.
I think Cota needs some changes.
Cota is probably the best circuit out of those three US Grand Prix.
Yeah.
But, like, you can't really get rid of Miami and Las Vegas when they've only just started.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you just kind
it's
of
difficult.
You kind of look and think, what other venues are going to go on the chopping block? I mean, there's more.
Imola, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, that's kind of the one I worry about, isn't it? Because I was thinking Imola, but obviously I've been to the Grand Prix. I think you're planning to next year, aren't you?
I'm trying to go next year, yeah.
It's got so much history to it. I think that's why they want to keep it. But I mean, there's more speculation, isn't there, around Azerbaijan, whether that's going to be able to host, obviously, what's going on between them and Armenia at the moment.
Yeah.
But it's really, really difficult. I mean, it can be quite easy. Whoever's not going to pay you enough. But there's
unfortunately, if it's the likes of Monza, Spa, Monaco.
Monza's all right. Monza's not struggled too much, to be fair. And I don't think Formula One can lose. I mean, but then again, we said that about Spa, and that keeps seemingly going.
We said that about Germany back in the day.
Said that about Germany as well. I really do believe the future of F1 quite soon is going to be rolling one-off contracts for more Grand Prix.
Yeah, that would be good. I would back that. Like, obviously, it'd be a shame to miss out on, say, it was Spa and South Africa, which is a bit of a weird combo.
Yeah.
But they're kind of, the talk is, if South Africa came on, it would be Spa to drop off.
Yes, yeah.
So why not have them on a rotational? Because they're both not blessed with massive amounts of money, it seems. So doing one race every other year might benefit all parties, really.
I can't lose Spa, Jamie. I'm sorry.
No.
I just refuse to allow Spa not to be on any season. Yeah, I mean, even if it's just, obviously, you get, like, Imola on a rolling contract with, say, a German Grand Prix, or, you know, we could even try and get Mugello back in or something like that. Because I think, really, now, Mugello probably got a bit screwed, didn't it? Because it was the...
Mugello is, in terms of track, it's better than Imola, but, like, the venue isn't quite there because...
The facilities need huge updating, yeah.
Every single crash was just a red flag because the, like, getting a crane around that track was impossible.
But, I mean, even the circuit, of course, you know, it suited qualifying laps. Don't get me wrong. Qualifying was spectacular. Yeah. But it was, if I'm not mistaken, obviously, with the exception of Bahrain Outer, it was the only track that got used in 2020 that didn't then get reused in 2021.
Nürburgring
as well, sorry. Yeah, but obviously we'd already seen quite a bit of racing there in the past.
I think that was it.
Yeah, it kind of just got a bit of a bum deal, didn't it? Because obviously you could have had quite a good battle between Lewis and Max at Mugello or something like that. You just don't know. But even, obviously, with the new cars as well, that would be sensational.
Oh,
to watch them go around
through that track, it'd be incredible.
That would be, I mean, through the Arrabbiata corners and things like that would be insane. But yeah, I mean, 2023 Formula One calendar, 24 races. We're getting a bit ridiculous now, aren't we? But
yeah,
I think we're going to see more and more tracks on rotation, aren't we, over the next few years? Because the problem is,
hopefully,
you've either got iconic tracks in the Middle East. Tracks in the US, isn't it, really? Like, they're banded into one of three groups now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of the problem. But anyway,
yeah,
shall we go on to our probably the most shocking news we've seen in a long, long time in Formula One?
Absolute tragic.
The biggest injustice of recent years. Nicholas Gotifi has finally been dropped. Now, I love the memes, everything like that, but this should have happened a long time ago.
I don't know. I think that's a little harsh. Obviously, it's deserved that he's dropping. He's getting dropped now.
He's the same as Giovinazzi, and people are going to moan
definitely.
That they want him back, and I hate that.
No, yeah, he absolutely shouldn't be on the grid, but 2 or 3 years is about right. I think it's always harsh when someone gets dropped after just their rookie year.
Two seasons would have been fair.
Yeah. But then at the end of, or like mid to late 2021, he was doing okay.
It was because George checked out because he was going to Merck.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't Latifi getting good. That was George going,
no.
I don't need to care anymore.
But yeah, he's been so far off what Albon has done and what Russell did for the most part until the last like two races where he started out qualifying him for some reason.
And of course, De Vries was the final nail in that coffin.
Yeah. when you get a new driver who's never raced an F1 before and they out-qualify and massively outpace in the race Latifi, it's kind of curtains, isn't it, for your career?
Yes, yeah, exactly. And I think, unfortunately for him as well, you know, the whole attitude of we just don't have a race car still. You know, yeah. It's been very, very difficult for Latifi. And I think Williams were perhaps looking for an out with him anyway, because obviously now they don't need the money anymore. And I think it was, you know, nice for them and him, to be honest, because let's be fair, I also can't imagine Latifi is a bad person to have to work around either.
No, he seems like a nice guy. I mean, he's Canadian, so they're all quite nice, aren't they?
But I'd always heard some interesting stuff about Lancelot.
Yeah, but he's just like rich kid's son, isn't he? Typical.
Yeah. I think Latifi was a bit more sort of measured, grounded, I suppose. Almost. Yeah. But I mean, it's not really a shame, though, is it? We can't try and lie that we're going to miss him.
He's the worst driver on the grid.
Oh yeah, definitely. He's definitely the driver that needs.
Whoever comes in deserves as much of a shot, if not more, than Latifi did.
And I mean, carry on. Sorry.
I was going to say it remains to be seen who his replacement will be.
Yes.
He's like a bit of a straight fight right now between Nyck de Vries and Logan Sargeant, who's Williams' academy driver.
Yes. I mean, it's all a bit messy, isn't it, at the moment? Because we've still got this ongoing problem, haven't we, where it only seems like Gasly is the only driver seemingly after the Alpine seat. But obviously, he can only go to Alpine if AlphaTauri can get a worthy replacement. They're now after Nyck de Vries.
Yeah, they don't want their own drivers in the academy because none of them have impressed them or aren't ready yet.
No.
I think Helmut Marko likes Iwasa and he likes Hadjar, but neither are ready for F1.
What's going on with Lawson?
I don't know.
Is it not worth giving him a one-year shot if they can?
I would love it. I really like Liam Lawson and his luck has been horrendous this year in F2. But yeah, I don't think... He's only like 19, 20 years old as well. So if I was Red Bull, I would be giving him a shot for a year or two. But I don't think they're particularly keen. Unfortunately. But then getting de Vries in just seems quite... Like, I don't know how highly they rate him, but it seems quite sideways.
It gives me Brendan Hartley vibes.
Yeah.
You're sort of there like, it's interesting, but I don't really see the point.
Yeah, yeah. Especially when the younger level, obviously there's no guarantee they're going to go into good things, but the likes of Isaac Hadjar, Dennis Hauger should really press on now in his second season of F2 next year. Like, when you've got those drivers coming up, what's the point of putting in Nyck de Vries for a year just to then replace him? Unless they are getting sick of Perez and de Vries is actually rated that highly that he could replace Perez.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? Because, I mean, Perez has, of course, slumped off massively more recently. Obviously, there's been a lot of sort of research and more info coming out, obviously, as to why that's happened. But it really is just, very, very complicated, because the only sort of logic I can think of is, obviously, AlphaTauri will not lose Gasly unless Alpine are prepared to pay big money for him, because why wouldn't you just get a cheeky cash grab out of it?
Yeah,
I guess if you could use that money just to pay de Vries off for one season, if it works, great. If it doesn't, what are you going to worry about? You've got plenty of juniors that surely are going to, and by then, surely going to be worthy of a call-up. But, if de Vries works out, could we see a Dutch super team at Red Bull in the future?
Yeah, it depends. It basically depends on how good de Vries is. I never thought he was that good, and I still don't think he's amazing, because otherwise he would have got a seat before he was 27 years old.
It was the perfect storm in F2.
In Italy. I don't think he would do any better than Perez or Gasly or Albon did against Max.
No.
But yeah.
I mean, I still am a firm believer there is only one semi-sensible driver that could go up with Max still.
Norris?
Lando Norris. I really do... I've been saying this to you for about the last 18 months, haven't I? I do genuinely believe Lando Norris could be the driver that really does match Max in the same car. I mean, obviously, because we know how weird his driving style is and how aggressive he likes his setups. I do think Lando might be the only other driver on the grid that could sort of cope with that. Not out-and-out speed match Max. There's certainly others there that I think are on level.
The driving style, definitely.
But I think Lando is certainly a driver that can fit what Red Bull want.
Yeah, yeah. And he's obviously got a lot of potential to be wasting away in the midfield if McLaren can't get it together.
No, no.
So,
but could we see Lando leave McLaren? I'm not sure. I don't think we can see him leave McLaren for a long time. I mean, he's signed on till 2024. Yeah, it's very true as well, isn't it, though? It is a very, very weird sort of looking at the future.
Silly season is being a bit strange, but one thing we did get confirmed was that Tsunoda was going to stay at AlphaTauri, which we kind of already knew.
Yeah.
For next year. I think it was only a one-year extension for now.
The Red Bull only really deal with 1 years, don't they, for their younger drivers, especially at AlphaTauri.
So, he's going to be partnering whoever they get in to replace Gasly. Could be
if Gasly goes.
If Gasly goes at all. I don't know what Alpine do if Gasly doesn't leave. They probably turn to like
Wants the Alpine. But this is the thing, isn't it? Because I know even Daniel Ricciardo has been vocal recently going, he's a bit surprised Alpine haven't included him in any sort of conversations.
Yeah,
but
I think Alpine are very stubborn.
Is there... Yeah, completely. I mean, some of the stuff Otmar Szafnauer has said recently, I don't know if you saw a quote from him a couple of weeks ago, we might just abandon our junior program. Yeah, they're like, learn to hire your younger drivers for once.
If you managed it well, then maybe your drivers would actually want to stay with you.
Stop throwing your toys out of the pram. I mean, Alpine are just like that outsider team, aren't they? That tell the teacher that there's homework due. And, I mean, it's why no one else wants to use their engines as well. They're just like that weird guy
on the
side.
They seem really hard to get on with.
Yeah. You just don't want to cooperate with them, because what's the point? They're just going to be a nightmare. And, we saw Zhou Guanyu, obviously, very, very upbeat about obviously leaving the Renault Academy. You know, Oscar Piastri's broken free as well. Even Alonso's gone. I mean, he's not an Academy driver, but this was sort of meant to be Alonso's big renaissance back with them. I mean, I'm thinking about it now, up and down the grid. Who was Alonso not driven for now in any of their guises? It's Mercedes and Red Bull.
Sixth team.
Well, it's Mercedes, Red Bull, Williams, and Haas.
Yeah.
That he hasn't driven for. And I could genuinely see him going to Haas at some point for like a year.
That'd be so
at the
funny
end of his
like
career.
44.
It's just insanity, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, I mean, no one else seems to want that Alpine seat at the moment. Which, and it was not that long ago, quite a hot commodity. I mean, could we end up seeing Mick Schumacher there? Because, I mean, there's still speculation, isn't there, about him at
Haas? I think they're not that keen on him. I think Haas is going to be Hulk, genuinely, not even trying to bait.
Really? I can't see him going there. I don't see a world where Hulk comes back. I'd be more inclined to say Ricciardo over Hulk.
But, it'll be interesting to see, because I think Alpine, would rather just go for Jack Doohan than Mick Schumacher. Because, Mick Schumacher's a bit of a known commodity. He's not great. He's very okay.
And let's be
fair, he'll do an okay job. Yeah. But Jack Doohan's got a bit more potential about him.
And, I mean, Alpine at this point, surely you've got to show that their junior program's worth something, haven't they? Even if it's kind of just a, hey, look what we've still got. But, it's just madness. I mean, do you see Mick Schumacher without a drive then next year?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think Haas are keen on keeping him when they don't really have to. It'll be interesting to see. I would love to see Hulk come back, just because it would be funny.
You want to see him getting wrecked by K-Mag, do you?
He just wouldn't.
He would. K-Mag would wipe the floor with him.
No way.
Yes, absolutely.
Those team meetings would be interesting, though.
Oh, they'd be carnage, wouldn't they? To be fair. But, yeah, I'm surprised you don't... Because, to be honest, I know we've spoken about it before, I've kind of just said Mick Schumacher will get signed on another one-year deal. And it would just be really anticlimactic down at Haas. But, yeah, it's strange times, isn't it, still? We kind of went through going on about how silly season was really dull this year. And then it's kind of just all spiced up. And it's kind of just ongoing, isn't it, with more and more things coming into the fray.
Alonso just blew it up.
Alonso,
it's just never
like
really
he always does. But, I mean, Logan Sargeant, down at Williams, of course, they're in a really difficult spot because he might get enough super license points, but then he also might not. And obviously,
it's basically a guarantee that he gets enough.
It's not.
I think.
It's nowhere near a guarantee.
He came second in F3.
I think he needs seventh in Formula 2, isn't it? And he's only like.
I think it's top
six. No, he needs sixth, and he's like 17 points ahead of seventh.
So it's very unlikely that he drops out of the top six.
Really? I would say it's still very plausible.
A lot would have to go against him.
But a lot has so far this year, hasn't it? for different drivers on different... I mean, all it takes is one disaster in qualifying.
One weekend left as well.
Yeah, it just takes a disaster in qualifying and that's it, game over.
Yeah, it's true.
Because, I mean, looking behind him, he's got Jack Doohan, Jay Anderuvala, Enzo... I didn't realise Enzo Fittipaldi was sick,
Enzo's
to be honest.
Well,
he is.
He's doing very good.
And Liam Lawson right there.
Yeah, so, and that... if all of them jump him, which is possible, it's quite unlikely, but it is possible, then he's in the mud. And in which case... Because I think they would rather have Sargeant than De Vries at Williams.
Yeah.
But they kind of running a risk of waiting for Sargeant.
But they can't. They have to make the call.
They probably have... They'll probably end up losing De Vries if they wait until November for Logan Sargeant.
Because, I mean, to be honest...
De Vries will go to AlphaTauri by then.
Looking at Logan Sargeant, he could quite easily have another year in Formula 2, couldn't he? He's had a couple of really strong races.
Rookie season.
But I'm only seeing four podiums. What's it? Six retirements as well. He's been consistent. He did win two feature races in a row because I saw one of them. Sorry, I just had to get that in there.
No, I didn't.
And he is kind of just ahead of a lot of cars, isn't he? Like, theoretically, still, he could finish 10th this season.
Incredibly. Is that even possible?
25 points ahead of Yuri Vips.
Yeah, but then you've got Iwata and Vesti. You've got to get enough points as well.
With, what, 38 points? How many? 40 points available? It's certainly... It's unlikely,
yeah,
but it's certainly doable.
Yeah, only one driver can get 40 points.
Yeah, so Yuri Vips gets 40. Ayumu Iwata gets, like, 31 or whatever.
32, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. See, easy. Easy. I wouldn't bank on it, but you still couldn't safely say that Lawson's guaranteed...
Yeah.
Sargeant even's guaranteed a seat for next
year. And by waiting for Sargeant, they're going to lose.
You're going to lose to Fritz. You've got to make that call at the end of the day. It's weird, weird times, isn't it? But shall we get on then, Jamie? We've kind of rambled on about this, that and the other. Shall we get to the Singapore Grand Prix? Shall we start with my quiz?
Oh, yeah, let's do it. I'm excited.
I've just realised I've lost my quiz. Give me one second.
I'm very unsure where you're going to go with this, because usually you just ask me about every Singaporean F1 winner, which I don't think that'll take very long.
I am not, actually, today. I'm just going to quickly grab up a word pad so I can write these down. So make sure I don't forget anyone. Right, give me one second. This is not working as I hoped.
This preparation's been unbelievable.
I'm sorry. It's...
I have all my answers prepared beforehand, ready to go.
Yeah, I thought I did, and then I deleted them all.
Great.
So, if you want me to be completely honest... Oh, why? The format is so bad. Right, okay, we're just going to work this out. I'm going to cheat the system slightly.
Great, okay.
Right.
No hint on a topic yet.
No hint on a topic? No, you're damn right you're not getting a hint. Right, Jamie, your quiz today. Of course, we all remember the Singapore Grand Prix of 2008. The first race under the floodlights.
Indeed.
Nelson Piquet with his interesting interpretation of track limits and obviously the carnage
and
that
barriers.
Ensued from it. Of course, we saw bottles, we saw carnage, we saw controversy.
We saw fuel nozzles being dragged around
did.
The pit lane.
We saw Kimi Raikkonen binning it at the Singapore Sling. We saw everything. Your job today, Jamie, is to try and tell me in order... The top 10 finishes of that Grand Prix.
Let me get
the timer. Sorry, you can have a few seconds to think. Oh, I've really not planned the quiz out well this week.
Who was second that race? Oh, I do know. I know who.
Will probably remember a lot of this because we spent far too much time watching old season reviews.
Yeah, it's true.
Right, you have got... where's more than one gone there? You have got 1 minute starting from now.
So Alonso won.
Yep.
Rosberg was second,
I believe.
He
certainly was.
For Williams. Hamilton was on the podium. This is where he gets ropey.
You can just guess drivers if you like. I don't mind.
Okay, so I'm not going to actually do it in order.
Well, you can, I mean, you can guess who you think, came fourth.
I think DC was in the top 10.
DC was seventh, I mean, you're basically...
Fisichella, I think, was in the top 10, but not in the points.
He was not. He was 43 seconds in the last place of the finishers.
Oh, no. Okay, truly... Glock.
So where do you think they finished?
Oh, I'm timed. Chill out.
Yeah, you're damn right you're timed.
They were in the points, I think, or one of them was.
Glock was. Where was he?
Oh, come on. Six?
No.
Seven?
No.
Eight?
No.
Fifth?
No.
Fourth?
Yes.
Glock was fourth. Yeah. Go on. Kovalainen.
Where?
Fifth.
No.
Sixth.
Time's up.
Oh, you're joking.
I mean, you got the top
you
five.
You proper messed up the format of that.
I didn't mess up the format. I gave you a challenge. You just wanted to make it easy for yourself. So Heikki Kovalainen finished 10th that weekend. I'm just looking back at this. This is the time where we had loads of German F1 drivers, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Back when, because German teams actually went to Formula 1.
So Heidfeld and Kubica were good that year as well. I should have said them.
Kubica was 11th that weekend. If I remember correctly, BMW Sauber an absolute disaster because of the safety. No, that was... I haven't watched this race in years, but Kubica had to pit when the safety car, when the pit lane was closed, wasn't it? Back when Formula One had those bizarre rules for a couple of years.
That Rosberg ruined everything. Did that as well, but his pace was mad.
Rosberg.
Because he was leading.
Because he was able to build up a gap again. No, Rosberg pit before the safety car, I thought.
No, he got a penalty, he got a drive-through penalty.
But then built up a gap, didn't he?
Built up a huge gap. Whereas Kubica tried the same thing, but got stuck behind DC.
Yes. Yeah. So the top 10 from that Grand Prix, of course, only 8 were awarded points. So Singapore, a notoriously difficult track to overtake. Fernando Alonso, 15th to 1st. Nico Rosberg, 8th to 2nd. Lewis Hamilton, 2nd to 3rd. Timo Glock, 7th to 4th.
Glock was always good at Singapore. Glock was. In the two times he did it.
Sebastian Vettel, of course, the most winningest driver of the Singapore Grand Prix.
The most winningest driver, that's a comment.
That's the genuine term.
No, it's
it
not.
It is.
The most winningest
that
drive.
Winningest
I don't believe that.
That is genuinely the correct term. I'm not.
You're making English up.
I'm not. I can't remember how to spell it. Jamie, winningest has achieved the most success in competition.
That's ridiculous. English is stupid.
So
okay, Vettel was fifth. Go
Seb
on.
Was fifth. Nick Heidfeld was sixth. So you have four Germans inside the top six.
Nice.
DC in seventh. And Kazuki Nakajima ran out the points there just ahead of Button and Kovalainen.
Nakajima got points.
No, yes.
That happened like twice ever.
Yeah, and this was one of them apparently.
Fair enough.
By this point of the year, there were still four races to go, if I'm not mistaken, after the Singapore Grand Prix. Three or four, wasn't it? Oh, sorry, there were three races to go. Hamilton already had 84 of his 95 points. Talk about late season bottles.
Yeah, he almost threw that.
And Kubica was still third there, right in the fray. I cannot believe how badly BMW... I mean, they were 15 points behind McLaren.
One race later, BMW were the most, like, well-run team that season.
They were.
This is a massive tangent.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to do a podcast on
the absolute
with
the car they had, BMW were the best-run team that year. McLaren and Ferrari were absolute fraud.
They did have a very good car, it must also be said, and two very good drivers, and no agenda for one of them. But it was a really, really good team that should have... They should have kicked on with that car. They could have absolutely snuck that championship away.
Yeah, Nick Heidfeld deserved better.
Both of them did, to be honest. I mean, we have completely gone down a tangent there quickly. Shall we jump then, Jamie, into our final topic of the day? It's Singapore Grand Prix prediction time.
Are we not actually previewing it at all?
Well, is there much to preview? I mean, we got Max Verstappen potentially win a world championship.
Yeah,
it's unlikely.
Very unlikely. I mean, he'll win it eventually, to be fair.
Oh, he'll win it at Japan, yeah. I mean, let's be fair. For Red Bull, to be honest, any of the next three Grand Prix, if I'm not mistaken, would be a good track to win at.
What's the one after Japan?
So you got Singapore, obviously, huge sponsor in Bybit. Check them out down below. Japan, of course, Honda. USA, of course, Oracle.
Yeah.
It's like any of the three is like a massive thing if they win at. To be honest, so Red Bull just must be not too worried. I mean, why would they be worried anyway? Let's be fair. But
yeah, they're going
to
win it.
What else is there to discuss, Jamie? I'm intrigued.
First time back since 2019.
Yes, very true.
Yeah, the original night race. Just throwing out facts. Yep. I don't know what else there is to really say.
No, exactly. We're too early in the week, haven't we?
Be.
This is why we like.
There shouldn't be too many engine penalties.
This is why we like doing our preview shows on a Thursday. It's always weird going back to a Monday or a Tuesday preview. Even sorry, I've exposed the podcast now. It's not live.
You've broken the fourth wall.
I have. Hello. Sorry, that's really weird. I mean.
Side note: Joe Guanyu is going to get a new contract.
We had completely forgot about that, hadn't we? Or it's highly likely Joe Guanyu is going to get a contract renewal. Alfa Romeo pictured out a tweeted out a picture of a tiger.
Matthew.
Sorry, which Jamie thought was the Alfa Romeo logo for some bizarre reason.
No, I'm not having this. I saw, if you go on their Instagram real quick.
I have not been on their Instagram. I will go now. I mean, this is great podcasting.
They put on Instagram 4 days ago, something is coming, with a black background. Now I look at it now, there is actually a tiger in it as well. But I didn't notice a tiger, so I thought, oh, that'll be Audi announcement. And then, yeah, it's actually a tiger, which is the Chinese animal of the year. It sounds like they've won an award.
Chinese animal of the year.
It's the year of the tiger for Chinese. So Joe is going to get announced, and we love it. He absolutely deserved it. Bottas has been missing since Canada. To be fair, so have the whole team. But Alfa Romeo.
Yeah, so is their reliability.
Got points in Italy, thanks to Joe. So yeah, we move.
Yeah, exactly. So does that mean now we can jump into our Singapore GP predictions? Pole.
That was a good preview.
Top three.
I'm winning this quite comfortably, by the way.
Yeah, you are, actually. What are the scores on the doors currently? It's been a few weeks. 53-39. I'm going to need an absolute recovery the last few races. I'm going first, by the way. So
you are?
Before you try that, I am going to go. I'm so stupid, honestly. I'm so stupid. I'm saying Charles Leclerc pole.
I was going to say the same.
Oh, I'm such a moron. Charles Leclerc pole. I mean, there's speculation in there. This could be Mercedes' one shot at a victory between now and the end of the year. It's not going to happen. Mercedes are horrendous at Singapore. Like, it's even though they've won here quite a few times, it's still historically a really bad track for them. So I'm going to go Leclerc pole. I'm going to be even more stupid to say Leclerc win, Verstappen P2, but I'm going to say Hamilton P3.
Interesting. You didn't fancy us throwing Sebastian Vettel in there.
I am not a moron. There's no way that Aston Martin.
The most winningest driver.
That's not English, is it? Oh, wait, no, I know how to read.
Oh, we've gone back a bit in the script here. I will go, just to be different, Max Verstappen.
Okay.
On pole.
So I mean, it's different. Not a bad shout.
Verstappen win.
Yep. No, we should have said Fernando Alonso to win. Plan.
Race fixing. Let's get Ocon to crash out. I might go for a little Hungary France repeat and chuck a little Hamilton Russell.
Oh, okay. So we you're not expecting anything from Ferrari this weekend then?
No, I feel like that's probably justified.
Yeah, very, very smart of you, to be honest. So I guess the final question I have then, Jamie, in 1 week's time, will we be talking about Max Verstappen's second world championship?
No. In 2 weeks' time, is Japan a week after Singapore?
I think so.
In 2 weeks' time, we will be.
Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough.
I think he'll be like 2 or 3 points away or something. It'll be very close.
Yeah, I think this weekend is going to be... It's sort of that... I know it's really weird to sort of explain, but it's what I like to call in control of your own fate. This weekend, Verstappen isn't in control of his own fate yet, but next weekend he probably will be. And by that, I mean... Obviously, it's weird, isn't it, with obviously the way Formula One works is, of course, that one weekend you could be world champion if someone else does X, Y, and Z. The next weekend you can be world champion if you do X, Y, or Z. Yeah. So I don't think this weekend is going
to
be...
Right now, he needs to win with Leclerc ninth or lower.
Ninth, I thought. And obviously Perez fourth or lower.
Yeah, I don't think that is going to happen. No. But the next weekend... It'll basically be Verstappen needs to score 5 points and he'll win the championship
exactly.
Or something like that.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, interesting times ahead. But anything else?
Let us know your predictions down below.
Let us know your predictions down below. Anything else, Jamie? Has someone posted something breathtaking on F1 Twitter?
It might rain. That's cool.
It might rain. Bring back Julian Palmer. Get him back in the car.
Oh, it's raining all week, actually.
It is apparently meant to rain all week in Singapore.
Interesting.
I can't see anything else though at the moment.
No, doesn't look like it.
No. So we will wrap up this week's show there then. Thank you all so much if you've made it this far. Help you, please. But yeah, we'll return very, very soon then with more Knowing Wheel.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10-1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.